podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. This is the SB Live Washington podcast, a weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, high school sports reporter, fresh off of a trip from the dentist. So half of my mouth is devoid of any feeling. So I thought, hey, why not host a podcast? So joining me, as usual, your pal and mine, senior reporter with SB Live, Todd Millis. Also, he's SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and the host of the ISO with Dan Dickow on the Believe Podcast Network. He's Dan Dickow, though if you listen to his recent interview with Mark Few, Danny Boy is what you refer to. Dan, I can't imagine many people beyond Few and maybe your mom call you that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But you know what? I gotta give you credit for taking one for the team after the dentist visit this morning. So good for you. We appreciate it. I know I do. I'm sure Todd does as well.
Absolutely. I feel like I've been away from you guys for a whole summer, man, and it's only been 3 weeks. So, Andy, we all know you're a dedicated soldier, man. So, if drool starts coming out of your mouth, we'll just start waving our hands. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be very obvious to anybody listening, I'm sure. So, we've toyed with the format of this podcast the last couple of weeks, a little bit. 2 weeks ago, Dan took the reins after legendary Mercer Island coach Ed Pepple passed away, and talked to a number of people from different stages of his legendary basketball coaching career. If you haven't listened to that, I recommend going back and doing so. It's in the feed from 2 weeks ago. Last week, I sat down with Bainbridge's pitcher J.R. Ritchie, who had just committed to UCLA, and had a nice chat with him. He's got a bright future ahead of him. And this week, while high school sports are still on pause in the state of Washington, we've got something different, something a little more fun. We're here to answer a question posed by our very own Todd Millis. It's, what current professional athlete from Washington do you follow the closest? And why? Todd, do you want to elaborate on why and how you came up with that question?
I mean, yeah, we got the NBA Finals going on, the start of the Major League Baseball playoffs. We're in the first full month of the NFL. I mean, if you like Major League Soccer, they're a few weeks from entering the playoff. There's a lot going on right now. I know golf just finished the U.S. Open. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. So I just figured, hey, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of teams right now to follow, a lot of directions, a lot of diversions. I know people are just glad to be able to follow sports again. College football obviously started, but that's not pro. But, I mean, just a lot of things going on. So I just figure this might be a good time to say, hey, who are you following these days? Who are you most paying attention to? So here we are.
No question. So the criteria is, this applies to anybody who played high school sports in across the state of Washington from any corner. So, Dan, I'm going to put you on the spot. Would you like to go first?
Let's go for it. Yeah, it's a very interesting question that's posed, I had to kind of think about it for a little bit because I tend to follow basketball much more closely than some of the other sports. You know, there's excitement in Spokane right now because Brett Rypien is going to start an NFL game at quarterback this weekend for the Denver Broncos. And I believe it's the last Spokane product to start as a quarterback since his uncle Mark Rippon was in the NFL years ago. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But obviously I tend to gravitate towards basketball, and I've got to stay somebody in my era, and that would be Jamal Crawford. And the reason why is because he has been so unbelievably consistent over the course of his career, as far as being, well, he broke in as kind of a starter kind of guy on the cusp of maybe being an all-star at times. He became one of the best six men of all time in the NBA. I believe he won Sixth Man of the Year twice, if I'm not mistaken. But the longevity that he's had for his career, just finishing up his 20th season after the Brooklyn Nets signed him to join them down on the bubble in Orlando, makes me kind of sit back and be like, wow, you know, Jamal is maybe, he might even be only 1 year younger than me. I know he was a year younger in high school, but it's been fun to watch him and the longevity and the success he's had in his career. I can remember back to when I first met Jamal. I was a freshman at UW, and I went and watched him play a couple times during the high school season for Rainier Beach. And then in the spring, he would come up and work out with us at UW and play open gym. And so we kind of struck up a friendship all those years ago, played against each other in the NBA. We've stayed in touch. He's been a guest on my podcast. He had some great words to say about Coach Ed Pepl a few weeks back. But just to see that a Washington guy who came about in the same time frame as me is still in the NBA, just completed his 20th season. It's been really cool to watch.
That's friend of the podcast, Jamal Crawford, for you. Dan, I know you had him on a couple weeks ago and then during the your quarantine series. So somebody who's still really connected to the high school game in this state. So I love that pick. Todd, what's it going to be?
Yeah, I'm the one that came up with this question, and I got about 40 answers, and I'm sure Dan lists about 40 guys too. Yeah, I'm a sucker for underdogs. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know, Isaiah Thomas, I first watched him as a sophomore at Curtis High School. Somebody had recommended that I go watch him, saying this, he was going to be the next great basketball player out of the area. And Chris Mosley is the one that recommended that I go see him. And usually when people do that, I kind of roll my eyes and go, yeah, whatever. He was. And what he's been able to do, I know he's not playing right now. I figure he'll probably get back in the league hopefully soon. But he's a guy that I've always paid attention to in the team sports. But my real answer is going to be Ryan Moore, the PGA Tour player. And probably maybe as an athlete that I've covered as closely as maybe any athlete in my 25 years at a newspaper. I mean, I first watched this young man play when he was 12 years old, throwing clubs at the Tacoma City Am, followed him all the way through his amateur career. Obviously we all know about the summer he had at UNLV, winning the NCAAs, the US Pub Links, the US Amateur, one of the greatest summers of amateur golf in history. And I mean, I can't count off the top of my head how many majors I've watched him play in. I got to go to my first Masters watching him play as an amateur. So many U.S. Opens. His PGA Tour debut was at Westchester Country Club and so I mean, I probably invested more time in Ryan Moore than maybe any athlete in my career at the Tacoma News Tribune, and it's been fun. I mean, he's had a good career. You know, as a guy, I remember asking Peter Jacobson before Ryan turned professional. I said, "What do you think? How do you think this guy's going to do in the professional game?" And his answer was, "If you get a guy that dominates amateur golf like Ryan has 99.9% of the time, he's going to dominate professional golf." Now, I don't think Ryan's dominated a professional golf. He's had a good career. He hasn't had maybe the career he thought he would have, especially winning a few majors since he was so used to high pressure tournaments. But I mean, he sunk the winning putt at a Ryder Cup. That's a pretty cool thing to do. And I know he's kind of on the back burner of his career. He's got his priorities have shifted. He's more of a family guy. He's got, you know, three kids now and happy to live in Vegas and play his whatever 22 tournaments a year. And hopefully, you know, a couple top five finishes, obviously, you know, renews his card for the next year. So I think that's kind of where we're at with Ryan Moore. So, yeah, to watch somebody like that build from 12 years old to sort of the mid 30s of his PGA Tour career has been pretty cool.
Yeah, no question. I love that pick, and it's somebody that, you know, you have a special connection to, and it's been cool to see that continue, you know, after your time at the TNT, Todd, with what we do here at SB Live. Back to your Isaiah Thomas pick. I remember being a fresh-eyed intern not that long ago with the Tacoma News Tribune, and I think it was my second assignment was I just gotten there. I was a student going into my junior year at Gonzaga, I want to say senior year maybe. And the Zeke End tournament was taking place. And the sports editor sent me to the Zeke End and I believe said something along the lines of like, yeah, talk to Todd about this. He knows Isaiah. And sure enough, you were the first person to ever interview him. Is that right?
Yeah, something along those lines. I mean, you know, not too many sophomores in high school are doing lots of interviews, but he reminds me constantly that the headline on the story that showed up in the Tribune, he always likes to recite that headline. He seemed to like that. So yeah, we've had a pretty good connection, pretty good relationship over the years.
No question. So my choice is going to expose, I guess, my age a little bit. This is a guy that instead of being on the tail end of his professional career is right at the beginning. He is younger than me. That's Matisse Thybulle, the 76ers, UW product from the Seattle area, went to Eastside Catholic. He just finished his rookie season in the NBA. And what's not to like about this guy? He immediately became a fan favorite within the 76ers, which is really just a tortured fan base that typically understands the inner workings of that organization and the sport pretty well. And so they can appreciate things like how involved he is when he doesn't have the ball, how he's doing all the little things that you want somebody to do, whether he's a rookie who's coming off the bench or if he's the guy leading the charge like he was at UW. My two gripes with Matisse were that, one, he didn't go to Gonzaga. I remember following that recruitment really closely, and all the experts thought he was going to Gonzaga. He's a four-star, and at the 11th hour, he changes and goes to UW, where he went on to have a great career. And the second gripe would be that he didn't win Pac-12 Player of the Year in 2019. I think Jalen Noel won, and I thought that it should have been Matisse. Off the court, he's about as entertaining as he is on the court. He's started up, and I'm the last person to speak on any authority about the world of YouTubers, but he started his own YouTube channel and has done like a behind the scenes of the NBA bubble with the unique access that so few have gotten of the life that NBA players have lived in Florida. And it's genuinely really well done. It's really entertaining, well done. It's funny. He's an enjoyable person. I could see him having a career after basketball in broadcasting of some sort. Or as a creative. So my choice is Matisse Thybulle. I'm not going to choose my second choice, but do you guys, I guess if we go back around and say any picks that you guys considered, anybody from growing up who's no longer playing professionally that came to mind when this question of who your favorite current professional from the state of Washington is?
Yeah, I can jump right in on that one. Two guys kind of jumped to mind really quickly for me of guys that I followed or cheered for. The first one, I'll stay on basketball, would be Richie Fromm. Richie Fromm and I were sixth grade basketball teammates. We both went to Lauren Middle School, and then we were rivals at – I was at Prairie, he was at Battleground. We played on AAU teams together for a year. He started at Gonzaga. I went to UW. When I decided to transfer from UW to Gonzaga after the Elite Eight run that he was so instrumental in helping them get there, he was a big part of the reason why I wanted to transfer to Gonzaga. We were roommates that year, my redshirt year, his senior year. And at Portsmouth Invitational, the tournament right before NBA draft is kind of where a lot of the fringe guys go. Because they had three of them at the time, Portsmouth, Phoenix, and then Chicago. Now it's just Chicago. He broke his foot at the Portsmouth tournament, and so it kind of looked at the time that, okay, my college roommate, my really good friend, a guy who's got an opportunity to maybe play professionally at the next level, his goals and dreams are right at the cusp, and they get crushed with a broken foot. And so I kind of watch him go through the whole rehab process, get himself back right, and kind of grind through some of the overseas leagues, whether he played in Italy or Turkey or the G League. And then he gets a shot in the NBA. And I think he carved out 3, maybe 4 years in the NBA. He had a 30-point game for the Sonics. He played for the Blazers for a short stint. And then, lo and behold, we were teammates in the NBA for a short stint with the Los Angeles Clippers. It was a really fun experience. There was one game in particular. Richie started at the 2, and I started as a point guard for the Clippers. And Roni Turioff started at center for the Lakers. So 3 of the 10 guys on that NBA court that night were starting from Gonzaga University. And 2 of us, Richie and I, were friends from, you know, 4th grade on, 6th grade teammates, roommates in college. And so that's kind of a memory that I kind of cherish and I think about occasionally. But that was a guy on the basketball side that I always followed and pulled for and cheered. And then the other one would be another guy from the Vancouver area, Richie Sexson. He was Prairie High School. He would have been a senior when I was an 8th grader. I was always kind of that kid who was a ball boy for the Prairie High School basketball teams for 3 or 4 years growing up. And so I was always around the program at games, sitting right behind the bench, going to all the youth camps. And so I got to kind of know Richie then. And as his career progressed through the minor leagues and into the majors, I was able to kind of stay in touch with him when he'd come back in the winters, because he had a love for basketball, and he would still be playing basketball at Club Green Meadows, and he'd come to my high school games. He was actually at the game where I broke the Prairie school record points in a game. He had the record at 44. I broke it with 47, and he was sitting there heckling me from about 6 rows up. I remember that clearly. And kind of as my career through Gonzaga and getting to the NBA kind of took off, you know, we became, you know, we've never really been close, but we've been friends, and he's shared some advice, and you know, he's always been a fun guy to follow. I think the most unique and fun story that the 2 stories that I have about Richie were, I'm preparing for the NBA draft living in Chicago, and I finished my workout one day, and I flipped the TV on at the apartment that I'm living at the time, and Richie Sexson's at bat for the Milwaukee Brewers, right up the road at Wrigley Field, playing against the Cubs. I sent him a text message because it was a day game. He's like, oh, he gets it after the game. I didn't know you were living in Chicago now. Meet me at dinner. So later that night, late night, I met him in a steakhouse. We had dinner, hung out with another one of his teammates. And then he left me 2 tickets the next day for the Brewers at the Cubs, another day game. Finish my workout, get ready to go to the Wrigley Field, and it's pouring down rain. I'm like, man, there's no baseball game. This is not going to happen. He said, just come anyways, right? We sit in the clubhouse and hang out the whole time until we know there's a game. So I go there, you know, hour and a half before, hour or so before, you know, first pitch. I get in, I use my ticket, I get in, I'm walking down to you know, the dugout area. He comes out, he tells the security guard, no, let him through. So I go onto the field in through the dugout into the clubhouse, and I just hang out with the Milwaukee Brewers for a little bit, hearing stories, just kind of watching the guys, you know, play cards, just talk about different things. And then Richie says, hey, I got to go take some BP. I'm like, Richie, it's raining. You guys might not even be playing. He goes, no, every ballpark has their little, you know, inside pen. So I got to walk through the infield and through the outfield at Wrigley. You go out to the warning track and you walk through the ivy and you open these doors, and under the bleachers in the outfield is a bullpen with a batting cage. And so I got to go out there and watch Richie take some BP. And that was a lot of fun. And then finally it looked like the game wasn't going to happen, right? So I said, Richie, I'm going to head back to my apartment. It looks like game's not going to go. And I said, all right, no big deal. Well, I'll talk to you sometime soon. I get back to my apartment. I turn the TV on, and lo and behold, the game is going in the first inning. I had two tickets to the game, so I had one left. I only used the first one to get in the stadium. So I used the second to get in the second time. I go there. Richie hits three home runs that day. He hit three bombs at Wrigley Field. So I'm like, something's up. Every time I go to a game, Richie has a good game. About 3 weeks later, my wife, who was my fiance at the time, is visiting in Chicago, and we've kind of got an afternoon evening where I don't have any workouts. We don't know what we're going to do, and the Milwaukee Brewers have a homestand. Well, Chicago to Milwaukee is about an hour and a half away. We drive up to Milwaukee, go to the game. We sit with his wife, kind of watch the game. Richie hits another home run. So I think that year he hit like 39 home runs or something, and I was present for four of them. It was pretty darn cool.
That's the Prairie connection, man.
Wow. I guess so.
The life of Dan Dickow. That's not a half bad tale there, Dan. I do have to ask, though, when you and Fromm were starting that day in the Clippers backcourt, is that the only time that there's been an all-Zag backcourt starting in an NBA game?
It's got to be. I can't think of another. I mean, you got to think about it. It would be even be extremely rare if you were talking about like a North Carolina or a Duke or a Kentucky backcourt, even for one game. I'm sure with those schools it may have happened at some point, but that's rare. But then if you go back even further, and maybe we need to find a mathematician to kind of break this down, but when you talk about sixth grade backcourt guys, really close friends, fast forward, whatever, 14, 15 years later, they're starting an NBA backcourt. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. And
you need a picture of that on your back wall, pal.
I do. I have a picture of that. It was Richie and I and Roni. Okay. I've got a picture of it. I got to find it. That's a great call. I should get it framed and throw it up in my office.
The reason I should say for the listeners that Todd's saying that is because right in the clear center view behind Dan on our Zoom call is the storied picture of him and MJ. That if you want to hear the full backstory to, go back to the podcast where we talked about The Last Dance, because you gave the another great story as to how you got that picture and how it ended up in your office. So I don't even know, Dan, you were the first one to follow up. I don't know that Todd and I should even go now after that, because it's not going to be.
I apologize.
No, Todd, do you have anyone who you grew up with from this state that didn't meet the criteria of our original question, but is somebody who comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate. I had an uncle who was on the path to play in the NFL. He, I think I've shared this. He played at Fife High School in the 60s, played for Ed Pepple, played for Jim Lambright football. So he was a three-sport athlete, also a thrower in track and field. He went on to play at Notre Dame football. He was a defensive lineman. I thought I was going to get the chance to root for him. He was drafted the year I was born, but they found something in his back that said if he was hit a certain way, he'd be paralyzed. So he was drafted by the Bills and retired pretty much before he even saw the field. And he ended up becoming a chiropractor. But one of his good friends growing up in his club track program was a guy named Bobby Moore from Mount Tahoma. We all know him now as Ahmad Rashad. He was all over The Last Dance. He became a really good NFL receiver, and obviously in the media as well, as a basketball, as an NBA broadcaster for NBC Sports. But he was a guy growing up when you're, in the 70s and you're just learning about the NFL. And I was a big Cowboys fan, because my mom's best friend was from Dallas, so I was a big Tom Landry, Staubach fan. But the only other person that I would root for would be Ahmad Rashad. He was a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, and he just made it look so easy. I don't know Ahmad. I talked to him a couple times over the course of my sports writing career. Probably a guy that I watched more and admired more from afar, obviously with the connection to my family and my uncle. But he was dynamite. He was a fantastic receiver. Probably doesn't get enough credit as an NFL receiver because of his of his vast NBA broadcasting career, and obviously marrying what's her name from the Cosby Show. So, I mean, I think he's probably better known for those two things than maybe even playing in the NFL.
No kidding. That's a great pick, Todd. Dan, I forgot to ask you this before I made my pick, but this, I thought about this because in when I was doing some research on kind of what Matisse Thybulle has been up to in the lead up to making that pick, he in one of the videos that he's posted to YouTube, he has kind of a behind the scenes of like, hey, I'm going to Chick-fil-A. There's a pandemic going on, but I still have to do my rookie duties, which is get the whole team Chick-fil-A before we board the plane. So I was wondering, did you have any rookie duties in 2002 with the Atlanta Hawks, the team you were drafted by? And if so, what were they?
Yeah, I had two rookie duties. One of them would be, I would have to take Krispy Kreme to home shoot-arounds when we were in Atlanta. The second one would have been when we were on the road and say we had shoot around in the morning, I would have to go to the trainer, equipment manager's room, whoever had the gear, and then go disperse it in front of to all the players and, you know, set it outside their door. My very first, I don't know how to put this politely, my very first time that I had to do that in the preseason, I made the mistake of beginning to knock on guys' doors to make sure that they knew their gear was outside. And so I believe it would have been the fourth door I knocked on. That wasn't a teammate that answered the door. And so I quickly left the gear and walked away, and I kind of saw the teammate on the bus about an hour later, and I just gave him a nod and said, okay, I'll just leave your gear outside the door from here on out.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm sure you were happy to give up those duties after your first year.
Without a doubt.
Well, awesome. Well, hey, this was fun, guys. I appreciated, you know, the research you guys put into this and just some of the stories you told. Before we get out of here, you guys are both doing really cool things with SB Live on a day-to-day basis. Even though high school sports are still on pause in the state of Washington, Todd, you and I have been reassigned to lead our expansion into Idaho statewide coverage, and you've really led the charge in establishing, you know, tons of contacts and doing some great work there. And Dan, with your podcast, The ISO, it keeps on churning. I'm continually impressed by the amount of guests, great guests that are lined up. We're 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We'll close on you, Dan, but Todd, is there anything that you're working on right now that readers and listeners to this podcast should keep an eye out for?
You know, I'm Mr. Potato Head when it comes to Idaho football. But it's always good to touch bases with what's going on in Washington. And we've been to a couple camps. I know you have. You were at Milton Hopkins 7-on-7 camp last week. We'll be at another camp this weekend. I was at the Northwest 9. So it's good to still touch bases with those guys. You can tell they're champing at the bit to get football going. I'm sure it's the same thing for basketball. So we'll continue to kind of monitor some of the off-season activities and events.
You heard Malik Agbo in my interview with him on Sunday, didn't you? Where after the COVID Sevens tournament, he goes, things got a little bit chippy. I'm pretty sure that it's a bunch of pent up frustration from people being sidelined from the high school season, but still cool to see kids getting opportunities to play, even if it means they have to make those opportunities on their own. So obviously a lot more to look out for there. Dan, with the ISO, any great episodes to look forward to?
Yeah, just this week we released conversations with Gonzaga head coach Mark Few, which was a lot of fun for me. And then Wayne Tinkle, the Oregon State head coach, we released earlier this week as well. A couple of the other guys that are on tap that we'll be releasing soon, Paul Biancardi, who kind of heads up high school basketball recruiting for ESPN, kind of shares how he comes up with his top 100 list and why guys might slip through the cracks or why guys are slotted where they're at. Jeff Goodman as well as a guest. And then next week on Monday, we're going to be releasing a really interesting conversation that I think a lot of people in the state of Washington are going to want to listen to. Somebody who a lot of people consider the best basketball player ever from the state that never made it to the NBA. And that's saying a lot because there's been a lot of good players, Doug Wren. And that was a conversation that, you know, was very eye-opening for me. And I think the reason why is, you know, you'll read something or you'll have heard something about Doug from years ago. But Doug hasn't always really been able to kind of explain himself or talk about some of the circumstances that happened, whether it was him not getting to UW or transferring away from UW or leaving UW early. And so I learned a lot about part of his background, his upbringing, why some of these decisions happened while he was during his playing career. And then some of the unfortunate things that happened after his playing career, where again, you know, I had a chance to sit back and listen to, quite frankly, his side of the story and hear a little bit what happened. And I, quite frankly, it was very interesting. I hadn't talked to Doug 20 years or maybe more when I was at UW. He was committed and he would occasionally come play pickup with us. And so I think that was honestly the last time I had talked to him. And I'm not saying we were ever friends at that point. I'm not saying we're friends now, but we were acquaintances and we were on a similar path and we were, you know, around the same people because of the game of basketball that we love and we had a little bit of success with. And so to connect with him and kind of hear more about his story was a lot of fun.
Continuing to tell some of the great and unearth some of the great untold stories of some of the most memorable athletes in the history of this state. So really looking forward to that one, Dan. If listeners can expect that one to be dropped into the feed on Monday.
That's, of course, the ISO with Dan Dickow. Find it wherever you get podcasts. We are the SB Live Washington podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. You can find our work at scorebooklive.com/Washington. As always, a big thanks to our sponsor, Washington Federal. And thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away, written by Carl Johnson, James Schroeder, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. Talk to you next week.